Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Arvel Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at arvelbird.com and get a hold of all of Arvel's wonderful music.
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out to find where love begins, every word of every soul. every star and every sky, every corner of creation lives to testify. For as long as I shall live, I will justify the love. I'll be a witness in the silence. If the word's not enough, with every breath I take, we'll give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love. From the mountains to the valleys, from the river to the sea, every hand that reaches out, every hand that reaches out to offer.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Namaste! This is Claudia Cleary, and I would like to welcome you to Namaste Nutrition, a show devoted towards your spiritual, physical, and mental and emotional well-being, spiritual food, physical food. And I am here to help bring you information that is relevant to all aspects of health and well-being and wellness in your life. If you are a new listener, I am welcoming you especially to the program. If you're returning, I'm really happy that you chose to come back and spend some time with us. Couple of things. If you are interested in contacting me because you have specific nutritional questions about food, please don't hesitate. My email is claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. You can also message me through Facebook. I am Claudia Cleary on Facebook. It's spelled exactly as it sounds. Claudia Cleary, C-L-E-A-R-Y. One L, my last name. One L, my first name. makes things a little easier for anybody if they're trying to find me. Today we have a marvelous guest. I am so happy and excited to welcome Roger Hansen to our show, who is originally a native of Texas and then relocated through lots and lots of convoluted life path journeys to the UK, and has a very interesting background and current profession. Roger, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's see. I just got a few minutes to like look over your website. It's very, very interesting. For those out there who are interested, It's very easy to find. It's RogerHansenLove.com. And you do quite a number of very interesting and unique things for people. I'd like you to talk about that, but before you do, I'd like you to tell people how you came to this evolution to where you are right now, because it sounds to me like you're in a very unique position, and you got there through a very unique series of circumstances.
I did. I mean, life has so many twists and turns, and my life has definitely not followed any sort of clear and straight path anywhere, but it's made it quite an interesting life. I love it. I feel like I've lived like 6 or 7 lifetimes in one human body. But I was fully immersed in the corporate background.
Uh-huh.
I was division president for a translation and interpretation services company. I was living in New York City. I was heading the division from there, and business continued to expand throughout Europe. And so I had the opportunity to move to London to start up the kind of like the European headquarters for this division, and then focused my business in Europe and North Africa and the Middle East. And I got over here, and I hadn't even been over here 6 months, and I just got the feeling that this was not what I needed to be doing. And the stresses of the job, you know, sometimes things in life seem to be just kind of going your way, and then sometimes they don't. I call it the flow of life, and it just wasn't going my way. It no longer felt like I was going through the best flow of life, and the job became stressful, and I just decided that if I stayed in the job that I was in, that my emotional and my physical health was going to suffer. And so I just kind of jumped off the cliff, which I'm accustomed to doing. I'm a cliff jumper. I just jumped off the cliff. I quit my job, had no idea what I was going to do. And I entered into this period of self-inquiry so that I could learn more about myself, and I could just finally slow down and be with myself and think. I've been so caught up in the routine of going to the gym, going to work, going to this meeting, going to that meeting, meeting with friends. It was just kind of one thing after the next, and I never had time to really think about myself or think about life in more broad terms. And once I did, that's when things really started to open up for me, and the sensitivities started to become very heightened for me. And that's when I guess really the first thing that I encountered was art. I started working with art, and I discovered that opened up a portal for communication for me. As I was going into these creative activities, I started to receive information, messages, knowingness that seemed to come from somewhere else. And as I continued to work with that and play with that and understand that more and interact with other people as I was doing it, I got certain validations, and I got a little bit of confidence about that. And so that has developed into a full-blown, what I call, psychic art practice.
I was going to ask you, is there any one thing that you noticed as you went down this path sort of turn you, that was a turning point for you, that was a shift that really helped define where you needed to go? Was there like a dream you had? Was there a particular painting that you were doing? Do you work in painting when you say art?
Well, I was working, my primary material is pastels, actually. And I had gone to an art workshop, a wonderful lady by the name of June Eleni Lane, here in the UK. And as I was in one of her one-day workshops, it just, that was really the turning point for me. I felt so connected through the creativity, through that, you know, when you do something creative, it moves you into the right hemisphere of your brain. The left side of the brain is all about logic and rules and regulations, and I used that side of my brain dominantly for so long to get me through the achievements that I had in the corporate world. Moving into the right hemisphere of my brain predominantly through these creative activities, that's when I really opened up to more of who I was and more of what the world and the reality system around me was. And that was really the turning point for me. And it's something that anyone and everyone can do, because it's not about creating a piece of art. That was never my goal. I was never a trained artist. I still don't consider myself to be a trained artist. And my goal is never to produce a beautiful piece of art. It's about the process that I enter into that allows me to have this experience that I then share with other people. So, yeah, I would say that was my turning point.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, and through, as a psychic artist, how that's really developed for me is a couple of different forms. I connect interdimensionally, so I connect with people's spirit guides, their guiding energies that work with them. I can connect into past life experiences, into future life experiences as well. And then I also connect with beings of light. I call it a guiding light energy. And then from the place of creating a picture, I then move into a process of speaking, a channeled process of speaking messages from the being that I've just put into the picture. So that's really how the psychic art has developed for me.
That's wonderful.
And that's just one of the things that I do. Yeah, I kind of have a little bit of maybe attention deficit disorder. I like to be involved in lots of different things. And so, I do that. I work with a process that I call soul plan readings as well, which is connecting to the energy of person's name. And by looking into that, I tune into their challenges and their talents and their goals for this lifetime. I've also developed a process that I call FIRE, which is really a process of work identifying and releasing limiting beliefs. That's really a non-dualistic process that I help people through to understand their own divinity. And through that understanding, through that realization, releasing the limiting beliefs that they might have, that might be limiting them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work as a channeler as well. Where I don't necessarily just do the art, but I just move into this channeled place and bring through wisdom and guidance for other people. But it was the art that got me to that place, and now that I'm to that place, then I can just move straight into the channeling place. So those are kind of like the main facets of my work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't yet figured out what the connection is, but it seems like that the best people who tap into their intuition are the ones who have challenges with learning in a traditional way. That's at least been my experience. And I've come across a lot of people who are intuitive, and they're not mainstream. They can sort of morph between mainstream and non-mainstream, but they feel a little less comfortable there. They sort of, like you, move away from a corporate setting or a traditional position. Or if they do stay within it, then they end up doing something a little unconventional within that framework. And it's kind of interesting to see what ends up happening. And and it sounds like you've successfully done that. It's really, really interesting to see what you've been able to create. So can you, let's see, let's take a look at some of the lists that I have here in front of me. So what happens typically in a session? Can you give us an example of that and how you typically end up taking somebody through it, what the process is for you, and how you developed it, and how has it changed since you started?
Right. For the psychic art sessions, I meet with people in person or I meet with people on Skype. It matters not, because, you know, space and time, for that matter, is simply a part of the illusion that we experience in this reality. But it's really through the combined intentions, my intention to connect with a person's guide, and that person's intention for me to connect with their guide. Through those combined intentions, I begin to work with the art materials. For me, it's a blank canvas and some pastels. And again, because I'm not a trained artist, if I were to sit and see something clairvoyantly and then try to draw that, it wouldn't, it's still too much of a controlled process for me. And I wouldn't do it justice because, again, I'm not a trained artist. So what my process is really more automatic and it's uncontrolled. And I just begin to move the pastels across the paper very kind of frenetically. And then as I do, I kind of take a step back and I look into the pastels that I put on the pad or the canvas there, and then images start to jump out for me, kind of like if you were outside and kind of picking out shapes in the clouds above, you know, I see a dog there or I see a bird there. It kind of works in the same way for me. So it's like the energetic being that I'm connecting with, they're impressing their energy upon the canvas, and then they are also influencing me because of my intention to connect with them, to see what they've impressed upon the canvas. And then for me, it's really just a matter of pulling it out. It's almost like tracing. I just bring out the images that are already there. I don't put anything there that I don't see. For instance, I don't think, I need to draw long hair there. I will actually see the shape of the hairline, and I just pull it out. And as I do that, because I'm in the right hemisphere of my brain, again, that's when messages start to come through, and I give the messages to the person as they come through. So by the end of a session, someone has had about an hour's worth of messages come through, but they've also seen a representation of their guide emerge bit by bit over the past hour, until they have this, a face. They're looking at a face. And so it's really, really a powerful experience for the other person to be able to actually see what their guide looks like. And, of course, the guide can look like anything that they want to look like. They're not in physical form. But generally, the guide will choose a physical body that they've had in one of their past lives, or they will simply choose a way to look to their to the human being that they're working with, in a way in which they know will be quite powerful and quite meaningful for that individual. And many times will also kind of tell a parallel story about a life that they had that relates somehow to the life that the human being is having. And then I guess the best part of all of that is that because everything is energy, part of the guide's energy is really captured there on paper, and then the portrait that the person walks away with really acts as a portal for them. So it's a powerful way for them to connect with their guide in the future. Not that they need it. The guide is always there with them, but it's just a powerful way of intention, and it's a powerful way for them to get lost in the art, which then facilitates their own communication with the guide. And, yeah, I absolutely love the work that I do.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you found something that allows you to fulfill this passion that you need. I mean, it's a different form of communication. Translation services.
Right.
Yeah. So, translating one language into another—that's all fine and good. But this is translating a universal spiritual language to people. They can end up maximizing their own potential, and that's really different. I have met some very interesting modalities that intuitives use through this show as a result of the people who we've had on here.
And I've heard
anybody who uses art as a medium in order to connect to the spiritual and to bring those messages, and that's really, really something. And so do you channel the messages exclusively from the guides of the person that you're reading for, or do you channel something, a specific spirit individually for each person? How do you typically channel when you do this work?
Well, when I'm doing the art sessions, if my intention is to connect with a person's spirit guide, then I will connect with the energy of that person's spirit guide, bring through their picture, and channel directly from that guide. So the guide will use my my physical mechanism, my body, my voice box, my the vocabulary kept within my mind, and we'll use that to facilitate the process of communication. If I am just channeling, and I do have my own guides that I work with, but I feel like when I am channeling, I'm really connecting to even a wider place than my own guides, because we're all connected. We are all unified at the level of source energy. I really feel that that's what I tap into. And so when I'm just channeling and the art is not involved, I'm speaking from the widest part of myself, which is the widest part of the person sitting in front of me, which is the widest part of all of us, and speaking from that widest objective kind of place, and bringing through the wisdom that that person needs and wants to hear at that point in time in their life, because it is always fueled by their intention. It is always fueled by the questions that they have, by their life experiences. And it's that energy that I tap into to guide the person that I'm speaking with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that sounds like it's a pretty unique way of helping to bring messages that people are needing to hear validation or answers for. You also do
right.
another process, and it's called, you call it FIRE. Can you
FIRE.
Tell us a little bit more about that, and how is it different from other processes that deal with limiting beliefs?
Yeah. The concept of limiting beliefs is not a new one by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, I've kind of been working with it for a couple of years now, and I've always found it very, very powerful. But the piece that was always missing for me was the non-dualistic perspective and the sense of empowerment that I felt like a person needed to go through. Because the truth is that we're all source energy. We all come from this place of source energy. And source energy is limitless. It is literally everything. It is all that is. When you are all that is, you are everything and you are unlimited. So everything that is potentially possible is possible and is truth for you from that point of source energy. But we're all having our own individual human experiences. We are source energy that is exploring itself in individual ways. But the only way that we can perpetuate this illusion of being an individual is because we would be coming from a place of being unlimited. We have to believe on some level that we are limited. So these limiting beliefs help create the illusion. So they're a necessary part of this experience. You know, the belief that we are male or female or white or black or, you know, this body or that body, that's all a limiting belief in and of itself. But we've also kind of gone through this process of tapping on limiting beliefs and experiencing limiting beliefs, sometimes through the experiences of our interactions with other people too, that don't serve us so well. For instance, I am unworthy, or I am lacking power. These are just a few examples. And these don't serve us, and we don't have to have them anymore. So through this process of FIRE that I take people through, I help them to basically remember that they are source energy. I help them to remember that they came from source energy. I help them to remember the choice that they made from that place of source energy to be this individual human being. I help them to remember the process of taking on these limiting beliefs in the first place to perpetuate this illusion. And once they remember that, then they know, since they're the ones that chose the limiting beliefs in the first place, then they can also release those limiting beliefs. And that's really the crux of it. But I take people through a four-step process, and that's what the FIRE stands for. So the F of FIRE is for focus. So I help people to focus their energies through the breath. You know, breath is really, it comes from the word spiritus, which comes from the word spirit. So by bringing more breath into the body, you actually bring more spirit into the body. So I take people through this very intentional process of bringing more breath into the body, because I believe through that process they remember more of their spiritual essence. And then I take them through the process of identifying, so this is the I from fire, identifying the limiting beliefs they have. Okay, I see this. I understand why I had this limiting belief. I understand how it has affected me in this lifetime. Then I take them through a process of releasing the limiting beliefs, because they remember that they chose them in the first place. So they release the ones that no longer serve them. And here's where it really can become a little bit of a fiery process for people, because we begin to understand how attached we are to our limiting beliefs, how attached we are to these lives that we've had. And suddenly when we're faced with the possibility of letting them go, then sometimes fear will set in and we're like, well, if I'm not that, who am I? Who am I going to be? This is, you know, my whole identity is wrapped up in this persona that I've lived for the past 35, 40, right. 45 years. Some people come into the seminars that I lead and they're like, yes, I want to let go of my limiting beliefs. But when it comes right down to it and they're faced with that choice, it's not always so clear and cut of a choice for people. So it's this releasing process is sometimes quite a challenging one for people.
That's coming outside of their comfort zone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then once they do release it, then they begin this expansion process, which is the E of fire. So expanding back to a more whole state of being, a state of being which is closer to the original source point, source energy, which is more limitless, which is more free than what we've been used to experiencing. It's a really, really powerful process. And I guess what makes mine different from you know, other processes that I've seen out there is that it really comes from this place of sovereignty. I'm releasing this because I know that as my God self, as source energy, I'm the one that chose these limiting beliefs in the first place. And through this process, we really get into duality and busting through the polarities of good and bad and light and dark and you know, all rich and poor and all of these polarities that we experience. I'm super excited. I'm going to be taking this to Tokyo in September. I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to be leading 2 weekends of workshops in Tokyo, helping people to release their limiting beliefs through the fire process. Hello? Are you still there?
I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. I said that you have all kinds of really exciting events and seminars planned over the next, what is it, about 8 months or something.
Yeah.
So if people are living in various places around the world and are listening to this program and you're interested in hearing Roger speak, would you please tell people about where they can go and what some of these schedules that you have in the works are, so that they possibly could go and check out your site, learn some more about what you have scheduled?
Absolutely. Well, you know, my website, as you mentioned earlier, is rogerhansonlove.com. So rogerhansonlove.com. And there it's got all the details of everything. And you can also, for those who want to sign up for the monthly newsletter, you would get a monthly kind of update on everything that's going on for me. I'm getting ready to go to New York. I'll be in New York the 11th through the 16th. So anybody that's living in the New York City area that would be interested in a private session with me, I'm happy to do that. Then I will be heading to Texas to see my family and then off to LA to do a seminar there. That one's already kind of sold out, so no opportunities in LA. And then I'll be coming back. I do my own Blog Talk radio show once a month called Your Soul's Plan with Roger Hansen. I've got one coming up on Thursday, tomorrow. Oh my gosh, it's tomorrow. And I'm actually going to be talking about beliefs. It's called Beliefs, the Key to Reality. So that's blogtalkradio.com/Roger Hanson Love. And for those who are interested in the psychic art, I also do free broadcasts on live stream. And I've got another one coming up on Thursday there. And so people could go to new.livestream.com/psychic art. And you can participate for free there. And then on May the 19th, I'm doing my next Guiding Light Energy. And again, the Guiding Light Energies are really, really exciting for everyone because I connect to this the spirit guide for the entirety of the viewing audience. So it's not just one spirit guide for one person. It's a guide that wants to come in and speak to the group that's collected, that's gathered to hear the message. Everyone gets to see the picture emerge, and everyone gets to hear the messages that come through. So that's May the 19th at that live stream website address that I gave. And for those who you know, haven't been able to get to a seminar or a workshop with me, I did a seminar in New York in July of last year called Living the Life Fantastic, and I was fortunate enough to be able to record that entire seminar. So people that want to experience the seminar but were unable to do so in person, they can go to my website and they can actually purchase the video series and participate in that way. September finds me in Tokyo. November finds me in India. And also doing some work here in Brighton. But, you know, I just reiterate, wherever you are in the world, I'd love to work with you. And if you're interested in a personal session, we can work magical things through technology now and working with Skype. And I'd love to work with people in that way as well. Yeah, so that's what's going on for me.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of stuff that is upcoming and very exciting. Just out of curiosity, about your seminars, how big usually are they? Do you limit the number of attendees?
It really depends. I like people to have a kind of a personal experience. I mean, so a lot of the seminars that I do, they'd be anywhere between 20 and 30 people in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the demonstrations and like one day workshops that I do, you know, there might be, you know, 80 to 120 people at those.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the online broadcast, you know, that can go up into, you know, 100 or so, for that. So it really just depends. In Tokyo, I think we're expecting, you know, between 50 and 75 people there for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. And then the other question that had also occurred to me is when you end up, you know, working in this area, because I think this is kind of important, a lot of people who work in intuition, they're so focused on spirit that they take no time out whatsoever for their own physical health. So I'd like you to address that so that for people who are trying to develop their own skill set for either intuition or psychic phenomena, especially if they have had some challenges in the past with acceptance for themselves, what would you suggest to them to do as a home practice in order to be optimally healthy in all areas?
Yeah, I think I'm so glad you asked that question because I think it's so important on a couple of different levels. And I have seen so many people that they're not in their bodies because they feel like the information, the intuition is, you know, doesn't come from the place of the body. And it's absolutely the exact opposite. The more I am in my body, the more information I receive. I get a lot of information when I'm in the shower or I'm at the gym or I'm doing something very physical. If you're kind of up in the clouds and in the head, you know, in your head, then, you're not in a place to really grasp onto any messages that are coming through and ground it so that you can understand it in a very real way. So I think that's the first thing that I want to tell people is that if you really want to work with your intuition, you've got to be grounded about it. And doing anything physical, it doesn't have to be necessarily running or anything like that, but doing anything that connects you with your body, is very, very important. But also, like you mentioned, as you do this work, you're working with energy in a very intense way. You're working with your energy, you're working with other people's energies, and you do need to find a way to kind of release that, because you can't carry around everyone's energy with you. The thing that I do a yoga practice called Bikram Yoga, which is the hot yoga.
26 poses and the same sequence every single time you walk into the room.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, and it's made a huge difference for me on a personal, a physical, an energetic level. And it's a big part of my weekly practice. And
wonderful.
So that's what I personally do. Yeah. And then
I think it's important to say that everybody has to start from where you are. Okay, because Bikram is really challenging. And if you're talking to somebody who is not necessarily physically fit at this point, going into a Bikram class, I'm just speaking from the perspective of a yoga teacher here, but if you're going into a Bikram class and you're brand new to yoga, you're going to end up being so intimidated and overwhelmed that you probably won't want to come back. It's probably a good idea to start with a basic yoga class to begin with. If you're physically fit, it's probably a great place to try yoga if you're interested in it. My sister-in-law
does.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, the first time I went into the Bikram yoga class, I mean, I literally was ready to run out the door. But so I panicked, and because it's quite hot, and you think that this is not right. There's something that feels not right about it. But it becomes a process of mind over matter, which is part of the beautiful element of it as well.
Uh-huh.
And so just by staying in the room, I was able to kind of get through it. But yes, everyone has to find their own thing, and it matters not what it is, as long as it puts you into your body. Yeah. If we're not in our bodies, we're not aware of our bodies. And and our bodies kind of left to their own devices, they can not do the best things for us. So we have to integrate our spirits into the bodies. Very good points you bring up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My computer just totally blanked out on me. Lots of fun. I want to go back to some of the work that you do, because it's just so interesting. I haven't talked to anybody who quite addresses it and uses the language that you use. But what would you call, can you explain a little bit about what a soul plan reading is that you do?
Yes. Everything, this is based on the premise that everything is energetic. Everything has a vibration. Everything has a vibration to it. Everything has a resonance to it, which even traditional physics supports. And the idea behind a soul plan reading is that from the soul's perspective, you know, when we decide to come and have the human experience, and I should state that I believe everyone is here for the same reason, which is simply to be, simply to be human. And that is the overriding common thing that we all have, simply to be. And I don't think anyone has to be this or be that, but I do feel like the souls want to experience life in unique ways, because we can, because that's the whole point of life. We're experiencing life in our own unique, diverse ways. And one of the ways that we can ensure that we encounter people and situations that allow us to live life in the way that we want to live is by choosing the name, because the name has a certain resonance to it. It has a certain vibration to it. And that resonance, that vibration, simply by its mere existence, moves out into the universe around us and attracts the people and opportunities to us that allow us to live life in the way that we want to. So by tuning into this, I look at a person's their challenges. I look at their talents. I look at... When I say goals, I mean just kind of like a broad set of objectives that they want to accomplish on some level. And I look at that for two different parts of their lives. The worldly phase of their life, which is kind of from birth until about mid-30s. That's all about just being born. It's about family relationships, intimate relationships, education, careers, finance, just the nuts and bolts of having a human. And then about the mid-30s, we start to tap into what I call the spiritual phase, which is really tapping into these the more intangible aspects of life and these higher ideas, higher kind of concepts of what it is to be a spirit. So where the first half is more focused on the human, the second half is focused more on the spirit. And so in that phase, we get a different set of challenges and talents and goals. And so that's what I really look at in a soul plan reading. It's based on the resonance of the name. And I, to be honest with you, I mean, it was developed by a man by the name of Frank Alpert. It's been modernized by a gentleman here in the UK by the name of Blue Marsden, who runs the Holistic Healing College. And I studied directly with Blue. And I approached this with a lot of skepticism because to me it just sounded a little, I don't know, something, it didn't seem right that the name could hold that much power. But when I had my soul plan reading done, everything, it just made so much sense. And all of these little disparate pieces that seemingly didn't fit together at all, they kind of all came together and made sense of this chaos that I thought had been my life up until that point. And it really helped me to make sense of my life and empowered me. It really empowered me. But then I thought, well, is this just me kind of, you know, reading into this and wanting to hear what I want to hear? So I did this with lots of different people, and time again, it really had the ability to create transformation in the lives of people in a very powerful way. And that's why I've continued to do it. I've probably done 1,000 of them now, and each time it's always so accurate. But again, it's not about identifying this goal or that goal or this talent or that talent, even though that is part of the discussion. What it's really about is about empowering the individual, helping them to understand themselves on a deeper level. And as they understand themselves on that deeper level, they become more of who they already are, which is connected to source energy. They understand through this process. And so that's what the soul plan is all about. And now I combine the soul plan with the fire process, because many times as I'm giving a soul plan reading, you know, these limiting beliefs will become clear that the person's experiencing in their life. Their life seems limited in some way. And that's become apparent as a result of the discussion that I've had with them about their soul plan. So then after I've gone through all of the soul plan, I then take them through an abbreviated version of the fire process to release some of the limiting beliefs that they might have. So, yeah, that's what that's about.
Fascinating. You do some really, really remarkable things. I'm very impressed. I just wish that St. Louis was on your itinerary of having a seminar so that my community could end up benefiting from your expertise and knowledge. It'd be really good to see you here at some point. And it's not too far. Where did you say your family is? Dallas? No, you didn't mention.
Yeah, Dallas area. Yeah.
Dallas, okay. Yeah, I have friends down there, but... But it sounds like you're doing some really amazing things, and it's great that you have walked away from corporate America and been able to land in a place that's been such a fulfilling place for you to be and to work from. Can you give some examples of people's lives that you have enhanced and changed just through the readings and the feedback that you've received from them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think... You know, it's different for each person, but the ones that really stand out to me are the ones that I'm able to empower. And that's really what I want to, I mean, that is the focus of all of my work. I don't work, you know, there are lots of intuitives that kind of work in what they would describe as kind of a psychic way and kind of predicting this and predicting that. And I mean, I know that happens sometimes, but it never has to be that way, and for me that's not as empowering to people as it possibly can be. And so what I really like to do is bring people into their own power, to let them to help them remember their place of being source energy, and from that place of limitlessness, understanding that their future can be anything that they want it to be. It is not set in stone, and therefore it is a sea of potential, and then what they choose to experience is what they will experience. But the common themes that I see with people there, and it all traces down, especially in the limiting belief work that I do, the common theme always traces back to either some limiting belief that they are separate from source energy or God or whatever word we want to use, or that they are somehow unworthy. I mean, there's like a million and one limiting beliefs that we can have, but they all somehow trace back to that. Or the other one is that there's some sort of evil force of darkness that makes them unsafe. And so by dispelling that for them, it's really created major transformation for people, and especially the one of worthiness. There have been people that have had sessions with me that, within a couple of days' time, they felt like their business completely turned around. You know, they had 8 new clients come after they kind of moved from this place of feeling unworthy to this place of worthiness. You know, they've had, 8, 9, 10 new clients come over a couple of days period, or these new opportunities kind of open up for them where, a newspaper has contacted them to interview them about their work and their process. And of course, that's nothing that I've done. That is what the person themselves has done by clearing these limited beliefs. If we bring to our awareness, we bring to our experience exactly what we feel like we're worthy of having, what we're worthy of experiencing. Nothing more, nothing less. And so if I can get people to this place of feeling worthy to receive anything and everything, that's exactly what happens. And so that's really, really quite powerful. And then through the artwork, I mean, I've had some amazing, amazing experiences that might even be kind of classified in the genre of mediumship. But one case in particular, I was preparing for a trip to Florida. And, as you said, there's not a lot of psychic artists out there. It's kind of a fairly new concept for people. And so I wanted to put together a video that showed people what I did. And so they could decide whether they wanted to have that type of experience with me or not. So I just made the intention. I was just me in my room. I just made the intention to connect with any sort of guiding energy being of light that wanted to come through. And I was going to draw that being, and then people could see the process on video. And as I started to draw, go through the process of art, this young man, this young boy actually appeared, about 15 or 16 years old. And he was talking to me about passing with cancer, and he gave me all sorts of messages and information and data. And I was like, wow, this actually belongs to someone. Some spirit out there has actually taken advantage of this opportunity. And I really felt like, because I was preparing the trip to Florida, I really felt like someone in Florida was going to recognize this video. But no one claimed it immediately, but I went to Florida and came back. And while I was there, I met this lovely couple, Connie and Martin Jordan. And we exchanged information. And after I got back to England, I just had a nudge one day to kind of look them up on Facebook. And I did. And Connie was making a post on Facebook about it was the birthday of her son who had passed 5 years ago with cancer. And I was like, I got chills all up and down my body. I was like, oh my gosh, I think this might be her son. So I sent her the video, and long story short, all of the pieces kind of fell together. All the information she was able to understand, it looked like her son, and it was just this amazing, powerful experience for them to be able to reconnect with the energy of their son who had passed 5 years ago from cancer. And of course, that was a healing process. If anyone's interested to see that video, they can go to my YouTube page, which is just go in and type Roger Hanson. I can't even remember what the address is, to be honest with you. I should have that written down. But if you go into to YouTube, type in Roger Hanson, and then you can go to my main page, and you'll be able to find that video and see how it all unfolded.
That's wonderful. That is just marvelous. You know, and the fact that you were able to bring that forth for people who didn't even anticipate getting that kind of a message. That's the other question that I did want to ask you before we wrap things up in a couple of minutes. And that was, when you do a general message of guide to come in and talk to an audience, do you notice the messages vary from place to place, group to group, or do you notice that there's a common theme seems to come through on a regular basis?
No, it is so varied. It is so different. It's like
really?
Meeting different people. It's like walking down the street and meeting different people. And, you know, for instance, and all of these are archived on my YouTube page, by the way, if anyone wants to go and watch some of these. A couple of months ago, I had this simple teacher come through, this man who was a teacher. His name was Paul. And he talked to us about very grounded spirituality. And then the next month, it was this energy called Maxim, which is more of this collective of souls, which is talking about very kind of metaphysical, multidimensional things. And then this last month, it was this feminine energy that came through. Her name was, she gave me actually three names, and she represented herself as the Trinity of the cosmic or divine feminine. And it was all about the rebirthing of the feminine in this new world in a very powerful way, in both the male and the physical bodies, and the link between the feminine energy and creativity. And that one kind of blew me away as well, because not only was the message quite different, the image looked very, very different from anything that I'd ever done before as well. So,
you're still basically never sure what you're going to get and what form they're going to take and
And I love it that way because it makes it fun and interesting for me. It's like,
of course.
He's going to pop through the door and say hello today. It's great fun.
Do they ever start following you around and giving you messages when you're really not expecting them and not really ready to deal with it?
You know what? I'm pretty good about that, and it's not anything that I've necessarily intentionally done. But for some reason, intention is a very natural and very powerful part of my existence. And so I don't get a lot of that. I mean, it has happened from time to time, but it's like, I don't know what it is. I think it's just the universe is aware that, you know, when I say that I'm ready to work, I'm ready to work. And that's when it all kind of comes in. But for the most of the part, I'm left alone. So I'm kind of very fortunate in that way because I like to have my human life too.
Well, sure. That's understandable. You know, I mean, you have to. You know, you have to stay grounded, and that's just part of the important work that we do as, you know, when we do use the intuitive side to ourselves, it's also remembering that spirit's one aspect. It's not who we are. I mean, yeah, it's the core of who we are, but it's not, we're cosmic beings having a human experience. And so ignoring one aspect of who we are is sort of like, it's just sort of ignoring a whole part of everything that we could potentially do. And so it's really important to remember all of that. Thank you so much for coming on to the show with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
Claudia, it was great. It was great to talk to you. I feel like we're just kind of sitting down having tea in the living room or something. It was great.
Hey, you ever want to join me, I'd be more than happy to make you a cup of tea.
Okay, good, good. I'm sure I will come through St. Louis at some point.
I hope that you choose to. I really do. It'd be really great having you here. I would just like to say to any of our listening audience, if you have any questions or would like to get a hold of Roger Hanson, you can send him an email. I believe the email link is, let's see, I have it up here, although you could probably say it too if you'd like to. Roger@RogerHansonLove.com.
Right.
The website is www.RogerHansonLove.com. And you can also find Roger on Facebook too at Go ahead, Roger.
I I don't know my Facebook address.
Your Facebook is that. You're under Roger Hanson Love, actually. If you go onto Facebook and then type in the search bar, Roger Hanson Love, you'll find him on Facebook. And on Twitter, he goes by twitter.com/RogerMHanson.
Right.
Yeah, and I do hope that you do come back and update us with how things are going forward for you.
I would love that.
I'd love to have you back here. It would be really great to have you here with us. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your passion for what you do with my listening audience. I know that they appreciate it. And this is Claudia Cleary. And I'd like to thank you so much for joining us this week for Namaste Nutrition. I hope you have a marvelous week. We will be back on the air next Wednesday at 1 o'clock Central Time. And for the rest of this week, I hope that you have a wonderful week. Many blessings. Namaste. Namaste, Roger.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.